Welcome to this week's Leader's Guide for the Fall Quarter of Life Groups. This resource is provided to help you prepare and effectively lead your group. For your convenience, you can also download a written version of this guide under Leader Tools at northcoastchurch.com/groups. So let's join Pastor Dave Enns now as he introduces this week's material.
Greetings, leaders, and welcome to week number 3 of Life Groups. So this is your third week, and you are beginning to get the flow. An emphasis, if you're a new leader, you're like, I don't have it yet. That is 100% true. You are getting the flow, figuring out how people are communicating. And again, one of our goals is to hear from everybody every time you meet. That is how you value the people in your group. So setting those time limits. I know I did it, doing it this last week. It was so helpful to be able to go, hey, let's hear from the next person. And again, because we had talked about that, it was much easier to do and people were really engaged. Also, you want to be planning your social and or service project. Our hope is each group does 1 to 2 service projects over the year. So check those out. There's options online. And then finally, before we dive into this week's Homework Helps, North Coast Men's Conference is coming up October 28th and 29th. We did this last year. We had over 900 guys show up to the Vista campus. It was our first one, and we hope to break that number this year. It's on, again, on a Friday night, a Saturday morning, all kinds of great activities going on. We do the fundraiser for Women's Resource Center. We raised far over $10,000 last year. That was another good piece. So check out all the details. Get the guys in your group to go. There's a lot that happens. There's also a women's gathering going on at our North Coast Leadership Conference. That is not our women's conference that happens in the late winter. And so, but this is leadership. It's one evening, and you can check that out too, ladies. So good stuff happening there. And finally, thanks for giving us your attendance. It so helps us know how groups are flowing and what's going on. Hey, I am now going to turn it over to Jordana, and she is going to take you through this week's Homework Helps. Here's Jordana.
Thanks, Dave, and hello, leaders. Week 3, are we having fun yet? Our group has been having a blast just getting to know one another. We've had some great snacks, and we have had some great authentic sharing, even in the few short weeks where we have been gathering together. Our hope and our prayers that the same is happening for you as you all foster and create these spaces for authentic friendship and as you dive into the Word of God. We had another incredible message in our series on the life of David this week from Pastor Chris Brown. We are all learning so much and it has been incredible. Let me jump right in to the homework. All right. We are starting again with some getting to know you questions. These questions are intended to get people talking, to get people sharing, to get people laughing. You can choose one of the questions. You can do both depending on time and depending on how responsive people are. The first question is, what's one thing that most people don't know about you? Now, for those of you who are in new groups, this is going to be pretty easy for folks to share because we still don't know each other very well. But if your group has been meeting for years and years, I would encourage you to challenge group members to think of something that most of you still do not know about them. The second question is, can you think of a time in your life where you escaped a punishment or a consequence that you deserved? This one could also be pretty fun. As a parent, I feel like I can easily think of a few times where my children have escaped a punishment or a consequence that they deserved for something that they've done. But this will be pretty fun. Folks will go back to their childhood, to teenage years. I mean, maybe even you'll get some examples of something that's happened recently. Just yesterday, I may or may not have fully come to a complete stop at a stop sign, and I was really grateful that there was not a police officer right behind me. Forgive me, Lord. Again, these are intended to be fun openers that hopefully will get everyone sharing, just low-level vulnerability so that everyone will feel comfortable sharing. Now we'll jump into the quick review question, which is one of my favorite questions to ask when leading a group because everyone can share something, assuming they've listened to the sermon or watched the sermon. Looking back at your notes from this week's teaching, was there anything that you heard for the first time or something that caught your attention, challenged you, or confused you? This could be something as simple as, you know, it's funny, when I see the David statue behind Pastor Chris when he's preaching, it looks like he's going to throw the water bottle at us. Has anyone ever noticed that? Or it could be something a little deeper, so just be ready for what folks share for that quick review question. Now, we'll jump into the digging deeper questions. Remember, we want to create an opportunity for everyone to share, and there's only so much time, so you may want to take a look at both of these and decide which one you're going to tackle with your group. We want to encourage you just to remind your group of that, that we want to hear from everyone. This will help if you have a dominator in your group. I call this person an over-talker. So mention that our goal is to have everyone share. This also helps you build trust with your group members. For those who are not the dominator, it helps them to know that you are thinking of them and caring about them as well. So the first question in this week's message, we're challenged with the command that we have to give what we've been given. In other words, what God has done for us, we must also do for others. Now we're going to take a look at Psalm 103, which gives us insight into God's forgiving nature. And as you read through these verses, we want to encourage everyone to circle, highlight, and underline what jumps out to them regarding God's forgiveness. This could be something that folks have done ahead of time. And if not, you could read this passage out loud and encourage members from your group to circle, highlight, underline as you read aloud. Maybe you have some highlighters available. Maybe you even read this in another version so folks can hear it, not just in the NIV, but maybe the ESV or the Message version or the Amplified version, which for me just helps as I learn and look at scripture. All right, now encourage folks to go back and read through this a second time. Now this is going to be a pretty fun exercise. The encouragement is to go back and read through Psalm 103 a second time and replace God's name with your own. So, for example, if I were going to do that, I would read it, Jordana is compassionate and gracious, putting our name in the place of the Lord. Jordana is slow to anger. Jordana is abounding in love. Jordana will not always accuse, nor will she harbor her anger forever. And as folks do that, you might encourage them to do it silently. You might even encourage them to write their name in their notes there where they're replacing their own name with the Lord, and we'll see what happens. This might be hard for some people, but our hope is that it's a powerful exercise. The next question there is, what surprises you, catches your attention, or challenges you by putting your name in the psalm, which is just our way of fostering the discussion or facilitating the discussion for folks as they respond to the exercise. It's a good question to have everyone answer, and there should be a variety of responses. There's a couple additional questions there as well. One additional question is, did a specific person or situation come to mind? You might want to feel that one out. Might be a little intense for week three, but if your group's been meeting together for some time and you know each other fairly well, this could be a great opportunity for some deeper conversation. Another little add there, we've given you some additional verses, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, which is the end of the Lord's Prayer that says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. And the parable of the unmerciful servant, which is found in Matthew 18. We used it last spring, but it's a really great passage for illustrating this point of just how quickly we can forget that our debts have been forgiven and not be so quick to give grace and mercy to others. All right, that's question number one. Moving on to question number two. As followers of Jesus, the hallmark of our faith in Him is that we are people who forgive and pass on the grace and mercy that we have ourselves received from God. So how do the following verses further reveal what living out God's forgiveness looks like? We've got a few verses we're going to have your group take a look at, and just a suggestion would be to have one person from the group take each verse to read out loud, However, just want to remind you, don't make anyone feel uncomfortable. Don't force anyone to read out loud. You may even want to ask a couple of people beforehand, maybe while you're having a snack, hey, would you be willing to read one of the verses, and give them a heads up on which one they will read out loud. As you go through these verses, some folks are going to think of examples like road rage, right? Getting cut off on the freeway, or a coworker that's always late to a meeting or always late to appointments. And then others are going to be thinking of just some really heavy scenarios where maybe they've been cheated out of a large sum of money, or discovered a spouse was unfaithful, or discovered some sort of addiction in the life of someone they love greatly. We just want to encourage you to be aware of the spectrum here, just like last week when Pastor Larry was talking about the varieties of sins. We aren't just being commanded to forgive those who sin in ignorance, but also those who have willfully and intentionally sinned against us, or who have just made stupid decisions that have resulted in disastrous consequences. So again, just be prepared for the different ways that this question could go, and know that for most people, forgiveness is a process. We've added an additional resource there from a book called Forgiveness is a Choice. You can take a look at that, which is in the printed notes. There's four phases of forgiveness. The first phase is uncovering your anger. The second phase is deciding to forgive. And then phase three is working on forgiveness. And phase four, the discovery and release from the emotional prison. I think that could be a great resource for some folks in your group, as well as you as a leader going through this conversation. The next question in number two is, Chris said that this weekend, living out God's forgiveness brings freedom. Looking at the verses above, can you think of any ways each one would actually result in freedom? This is going to be a great opportunity to brainstorm with your group. Here's a couple of examples of how this might play out. So for example, 1 John 1:9, confess, then he's faithful and just. Well, confession is not fun. It is not super fun when we have to approach the Lord or even a friend and admit that we've done something wrong. However, until we do that and bring the sin into the light, we are not able to fully and truly experience freedom. It's an if, when, then. If or when we confess our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another example using the Colossians verse, Colossians 4:6, be always full of grace. Holy moly, it is hard, in fact, very hard to be full, always full of anything, especially grace. But if we try our best and strive to be full of grace and respond in grace in our conversations, this will have a positive effect on our relationships, help us to avoid conflict and strife and misunderstanding, which then leads to freedom. So hopefully those two examples help as people are thinking through how to respond to that question. You could also take this question a different way. You could ask the group to define freedom before you even get started into answering that question. Chris talks about this in his sermon, and it may be a good opportunity for a discussion as to what it might practically look like to live and walk in freedom. I included there two different definitions for the word freedom from dictionary.com and Merriam-Webster. So check those out for your discussion. Then the last part here on question two is, can you think of a situation in your life when doing what one of these verses describes led to freedom for you? So not everyone's going to necessarily have an answer to this one, and that's okay. A situation in your life when doing or putting into practice or applying one of these verses resulted in freedom. Here's another opportunity to get practical. Sometimes we just read these verses like, hey, you gotta forgive. Oh, you gotta walk in grace. You gotta always be full of grace. And we miss what it might practically look like in our lives and the different nuances, just depending on the people involved, the situation that we're dealing with. Of course, for some situations, it's easier to respond in grace it's easier to have more patience. It's easier to confess to some people than it is to others. It just depends on the circumstance and, again, the people involved. Okay, we're wrapping up the taking it home section, looking back at this week's message and study what's most important for you to remember. The additional question there is, as you listen to the responses from the group, assuming you did question number two, is there any encouragement that you found to help you apply one of the verses from question number two? Now, you could also pose a question, may or may not need a verbal response. It could just be a challenge to your group. Again, feel it out as the leader. If your group is new, people may not want to share out loud, but if you've been together for a little while, this could be an opportunity for you to corporately pray and for you as the leader to challenge members to a response, to an action. So the question is there a particular person or situation that's requiring a response that you need to bring to God in prayer? Is there an action that you need to take? For some, having this conversation, they can, boom, just instantly think of someone that they need to talk to or an action that the Lord may be prompting them to take. You could also do this in prayer time if you break up males and females, which is a suggestion. It's week three. You may or may not feel comfortable doing that. If you'd like to stay together as a whole group, feel free to do that, but you could split up and give women time to chat in a smaller group and men an opportunity to chat in a smaller group. And that's where you could ask that question. If there's a male leader or a female leader who could ask that follow-up question there right above, is there a particular person or situation requiring a response? That may be, as you break into smaller groups, a safer place for folks to answer. So well done, leaders. We're so grateful for you and thankful for you. Have a great week three. If you need any more resources, please jump online, take a look at the leader guide. We are here to help you. Again, thank you. Go get them.